Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We watch with some horror what is going on in the United States at the universities. According to Netanyahu, campus anti-Semitism is reminiscent of 1930s Germany. The Prime Minister condemned the anti-Semitic incidents and protests currently occurring on university campuses in the United States and called on administrators to stop them. Well, is it the case? Is this, and not all of us are experts on 1930s Germany, where we might know the history, we don't really always understand the nuances around how all of this was allowed to occur. Professor Richard Landes is Israeli historian and author. A very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning.
So the comparison between 1930s Germany, and we've seen those photos of Jews being barred from the universities in the 1930s, and they're often put alongside what is happening at Columbia and other universities across the United States. How valid is that comparison?
Well, I would say that, and I said this back in 2002 when I was speaking at Harvard Hillel, right after the sort of explosion of hatred of Israel that followed the false report of massacres at Jenin, that you have to think not in terms of a direct parallel, 2024-1939, but you have to think in terms of the trajectory. Back in 2002, the trajectory was clear to some of us, but hardly, you know, a close parallel, unless you went back to sort of Germany in the 19-teens or something. But I think that now, you know, the big difference between Nazi Germany and the United States is that although you have a sort of pathetic president who really seems to be, you know, sort of dipping in and out of consciousness, you don't have somebody as in 1939 like Hitler, who's running the country and who has for already 5 years by 1939.
Okay, so I think that's quite a significant difference.
Huge Nuremberg rallies and stuff. Once you get AOC as president, then I think you can start making direct comparisons to Germany in 1939. On the other hand, the attitude of students on American campuses is absolutely staggering. I mean, you know, the idea that it's kind of a terrible joke that in this age of information affluence, they are so deeply ignorant of what's going on in the Middle East that they can literally say that we are for Hamas because they are fighting for dignity and freedom. You know,
the level of ignorance is just astounding. That if you had to ask, you know, ask them what they stand for, what Hamas stands for, what Iran stands for. It is right. The very antithesis of everything that they would aspire to, I would hope.
Well, that's one of the interesting things about, in Israel we say 7-10, I think in America they say 7. But one of the striking things about it was that, you know, up until 7-10, all of the protests against Israel had been in response to news footage of Israeli actions against Gaza and pictures of Palestinian suffering. With 7-10, and long before Israel went into Gaza, there were celebrations of this kind of behavior.
Yes.
Coming from people who, you know, I had always sort of, you know, I in my book, can the whole world be wrong? I repeatedly talk about how the left in the West has been duped by people who are using the language of civil society and human rights and human dignity and freedom, but are actually a bunch of jihadis who want to dominate the world. And so I sort of hope that when the mask came off, when you saw the snarling teeth of the wolf behind the sheep's disguise, they would wake up. And in fact, what's happened is they haven't stopped. They haven't paused. And people like recently Naomi Klein just did a piece in The Guardian and gave a big speech in New York and so on. And she's still talking about dignity and freedom, as if what happened on 7/10 was a reflection of a desire for dignity and freedom rather than for genocide and the deep dehumanization of another people.
How does this play out?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. Pessimists would say the West is in a death spiral. And that's possible. You know, people have been warning about the demographic time bomb in the West since the early aughts. In 2004 or 5, you had books coming out that were describing how within a generation Islam is going to be in a position of dominance in Europe. And I think that, you know, the Europeans are unaware of this, or most of them seem to be unaware of this. But, you know, there are people have been talking about these, well, the French call them ZUS, zone urbaine sensible, sensitive urban zones. But these are really no-go areas where Muslims have literally taken over. The cops are unwilling to go in there. The ambulances get stoned when they go in there. Taxis don't want to go in there. And what they don't realize is they've got a bunch of Hamas stands within Europe. And they're in terrible trouble. And if and when the sense of empowerment that certainly is spreading as a result of current activities reaches a tipping point, they can expect to have similar actions from what happened to us in Israel. I mean, the idea that these jihadis are only after the Jews and that other infidels.
No, it's naive in the extreme, and very. That's what makes it even more remarkable, is that this is never. Ever, and we know this from our own history, that we are that we the early warning signal. It's never about the Jews. It's about a lot more. I do need to leave it there because it is 7:31. We're obviously going to continue covering the story, and just to see because how this plays out is very, very significant. Professor Richard Landy's apologies for not having more time to speak to you. He's an Israeli historian and author talking about the anti-Israel protests at Columbia University. Is it reminiscent of 1930s Germany?